see it went out this morning. It's wonderful to come together to study and to worship. As we have the opportunity to do so, grateful to be able to be here with you all today also. Be a little more clear on the sheet that is out there. It was posted from our last meeting that the elders updated us on stuff, and it's just got a list of the duties in which the elders had assigned to the deacons and some others on who's in charge of what. So just to clarify what is out there. If you want to go ahead and open your Bibles back over to Matthew chapter 13, where the scripture reading was read this morning, Matthew 13. A lesson going to be coming from there. We'll be turning back to this chapter a few times throughout the lesson. As the title of the lesson, the kingdom of heaven is like a seed. Because as you go through Matthew 13, there are three parables, more than three parables in this chapter, but three of them that go forth and use the illustration of a seed being planted. And so decided to go ahead and put a lesson together and following the parables that are placed here and hopefully bring out some points that will assist us and help us as we continue to live our lives faithful to God. So first thing to bring out as we talk about these parables, and bring out again that it is the kingdom of heaven is like. That as you read about these parables, oftentimes that is how he starts the parable. He doesn't start this first one that way. He just brings out there in verse 3 that he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out." But as you look at the other parables, that's how he often starts it. In verse 24, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed the good seed in his field." Again, in verse 31, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took out and sowed in the field." And in verse 33, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven." So time and again, in verse 45, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant." And in verse 47, "The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet." So even in the other parables, he often brings out these parables to give us a mindset, an illustration of what the kingdom of heaven is likened to. What it is like, how we can relate to it. Of course, for many, they were farmers or those who had tilled fields or worked in the fields. And so they would understand these illustrations. Of course, he ends up using some stuff about the dragnet. So he talks to fishermen often. He uses these things in which they would have been used to. And of course, I know there are some here that can relate to these a little more than others, but there is something that we all can learn from it. So the seed is the point I want to first look at as we get into the actual parables that use it, is the fact that he uses a seed three times. Once in the parable of the sower, the one who goes forth and sows, and he lands on a few different grounds, different soils in which the seed falls on, but he is throwing out the seed. Then you have a parable of the mustard seed. And so, again, using another type of seed that is being planted, a specific there. And then another parable of the tares, that the seed is sown, good seed is sown, but then the evil one comes forward and he plants seed also. And so when we talk about the good seed, what are we talking about? Turn along with me to Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Luke chapter 8, and looking there in verse 11. Here it says, "The parable is this, the seed is the word of God." And so when the parable of the sower is being explained in Luke, he goes forth and explains. He goes straight to the point saying the seed is the word of God. And so when we're thinking of a spiritual matter of being spiritual sowers, going forth and sowing the seed, that the seed is the word of God. Of course, here Jesus, being the one that is speaking, Jesus, the one that is teaching these parables, he is the sower. He's going forth and sowing the good seed, and he is trying to plant it into everyone's hearts, as we're going to be talking about here in just a short bit. But the seed is being sown. It is the word of God, something that we all need. We need to hear. And as we think about the seed being the word of God, turn along with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and looking there in verse 1. John chapter 1, and starting there in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. We jump down to verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so as we look at these verses, and it talks about the Word is Christ. The Word is the Lord. He is the Word. As of course, he's the one that is out there planting the words of God, the words of the Father. But when we study the message of the gospel, when we study the Old Testament, we study the rest of the book of the Bible, the New Testament, the continuously the Word is pointing us to Christ, pointing us to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is who we're trying to plant. That as we take the Word, we take the Bible, and we go forth and we preach the Word to others, and we try to teach it, we teach our children, we are trying to plant our Lord and Savior's love, His light, His seed, His Word into their hearts. It's something that has to be done. Romans 10 and verse 17, Romans chapter 10, and looking there at verse 17, here it brings out faith come by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. It's something that we have to do. We have to be willing to listen to the words of God. If you jump up to verse 14, and there in Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 14. It says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It just goes down that point that, yeah, you do have to confess in order to be saved. That as you go back to verses 8 and 9 there in Romans 10, that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But how is one supposed to make that confession if they don't believe? But then he comes back to the point, well, how is anyone supposed to believe if they have not heard? And so how are people to hear if we do not go out and we shine His light and we go forth and are ready to answer those who ask us of our faith and to preach the truth, to teach others? And so we have to be willing to go forth and plant the seed. And the seed is the Word of God. You know, I've only done a garden once. It was a good garden. Scott helped me really good. It came out real well. I didn't take a real drive to it. But I can guarantee that the reason I haven't grown anything else since is because I haven't planted it in a seed. You know, you can't grow anything if we don't go forth and plant the seed. And so if we're not out there taking the Word of God and teaching others, we can't sit here and say, well, why isn't the church growing? Why do we not get anyone else to come to worship with us? Well, why do we not see anything happening? Well, the church isn't going to grow if we're not out planting the seed. If we're not out there taking His Word and teaching it to others. And we're not shining His light and bearing much fruit. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later on also. And so we want to make sure that we understand that the seed is the Word. The Word is something that we need to go forward and plant. My next point I want to bring out is, of course, to look at the different soils. There are three different types of soil in the parable of the sower. Three different bad types of soil or ground that you might say. And as you look forward in the parable of the sower, and then there was only one that planted on the good ground. So Matthew 13 and verse 19 here in the explanation of the parable as Jesus goes forth and explains it to His disciples that are with Him. Verse 19, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So as the seed is being sown, some land on the wayside, it says the wayside is the seed that people hear, but they do not understand. They do not understand, so therefore here comes Satan, here comes the evil one, and he snatches the seed away before it can take root. And basically, kind of that mindset that it gives them one ear and right out the other. They heard you, but then they did not follow up on it. They did not study it. They did not come back to make sure the truth was being taught. And of course, that is kind of how these parables start out. As he starts off with the parable of the sower there in verses 1 through 9, but then you jump over there in verse 14 and 15, he quotes Isaiah, and if you're following along in the bulletin and you're looking for those verses, Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, is where he's quoting this here in verses 14 and 15. So Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15 read, says, in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. And so here he brings out that these people are hard of hearing. That they hear, but they do not understand. They do not listen. They see, but yet they truly do not perceive. That they see Jesus, and they see that he's doing these things, and they see that there are people who are following him, but they're not truly perceiving that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. You know, you have the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests and the elders that continuously come to Jesus. You have the warriors that question him, and that they do not fully grasp. Now here we are, we're trying to set him up, and yet he never falls into the trials, the temptations, the questions that we throw at him. He answers them so wisely. Where does he get this wisdom? How can it be that he is this smart? How can it be that he performs these miracles? How can he do these things? You know, they see all the signs, and yet they do not truly understand. So there's those who will hear the teaching. They'll listen to us talk, maybe, but they will not fully grasp, and their hearts are not taking it in. That's why we have to make sure that we do our part in studying and being diligent in our studying. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And looking there in verse 15 where it says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Your King James says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And so we're to be diligent in our study. We're to be diligent to make sure that we are approved to God, that we know right from wrong. We know what is the right path and what is the wrong path. And we're going to be like the Berean. Turn to Acts 17, verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. I'm going to make sure I say the right thing. The Berean. There you go. In verse 10, it brings out the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And so the Berean brethren here, that as they were taught, they were ready to receive the truth. They were excited to receive it, but then they did a little more looking into it after it was given to them. They didn't just hear the word and say, you know, good message, shake the hand, walk out. They went about their lives and just ignored the word. It says they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so or not, whether they lined up with the prophet Isaiah, with the prophet Jeremiah, whether it lined up with the prophecies of the Lord, of the Messiah, of the Christ. And when they see that it does, and when we see it does, that's when we give ourselves over to God. But those who received the seed, the word of God, on the wayside, they didn't understand. They just allowed it to go on by. They did not search it further. They did not ask more questions. They did not pray so that they could understand what's true. Turn along back with me to Matthew 13 again. Matthew 13, going to look at the next ground that is made mention here. In verse 20, it says, but he who received the seed on the stony places, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because the word immediately he stumbles. So we could go back to some of the verses we've already read and talk about how our faith comes by hearing. Talk about making sure we continue to be diligent in our studies and that we are daily searching the scriptures so that we do, again, grow roots. That as we receive it, we receive it with joy. We dig our roots down and we continue to build that faith and continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of God so that when these trials and temptations come upon us, we won't be pushed over.
But we need to know that, that these things will happen. That once we give ourselves over to God and we receive the truth with joy, that Satan's going to come after you. Satan's going to try to cause you to stumble and cause you to fall in whatever way he may. And so we have to be ready because we're warned of these trials. Matthew chapter 5. Read along with me there in verses 11 and 12. Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. It says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Again, here it warns us. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the Lord's sake. Rejoice is what it tells us. Again, in James chapter 1, it tells us to do that, that we're to be joyful, to be happy as we suffer in the name of God. That we're willing to do that. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 10, and looking there in verse 35, or go up to verse 34. Matthew 10, verse 34. "Do you not think that I came to bring peace on earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Again, when we go and talk about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, which is the next verse I'm going to be turning over to, it tells us that the word of God is a sword. Jesus says, "I came to bring a sword." Why? Verse 35, "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Why? Because, again, as we accept the truth, we accept the word of God, that means that we're going to go through these trials and tribulations and persecution because you have people who do not accept the truth. And when you do and they don't, then there is conflict among the two. And now you have to make a decision. Who comes first, family or God? And God should always come first. And when we do that, they get upset, they get mad, and it can cause your own enemies to be those within your own house. It can be your parents, it can be your siblings, it can be your children that stand against God while you're trying to continue to follow in His footsteps. So we have to be ready for when these things come, lest we get pushed over. And so we need to put on the armor of God. Again, going to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And looking there and starting in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and His power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Again, as we go through, yes, there's a lot of things for defense, a lot of things to protect us, but we also do have that sword that we also go forth and we fight the good fight that has been set before us. So again, make sure that we have hearts that are ready to receive the truth. Because when we're talking about these different grounds, we're talking about this rocky ground and the wayside, we're talking about our hearts. The word of God is to be planted in our hearts. It is to reach our soul, to cause us to be willing to follow our God, to see His love and to love Him back. And so there's another ground that is not right and bad. It is the one that is on the thorns. Turn back to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 13. And as you pick up with me, verse 22, Matthew 13 and verse 22. It says, "Now he who received the seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So again, another one that does receive the truth. He does receive the word of God, and he hears the truth, But then his cares for the world, his love for riches, his love for worldly possession, chokes out his love for God, chokes out his desire to be obedient. So turn with me now to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, and looking there in verse 19,
says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For your treasure is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So we need to make sure that our hearts are in the right place, that we treasure the Word of God, that we treasure a home in heaven, that we truly think that, Christ is all, that we want to be like Him, that we want to follow in His footsteps. And 1 Timothy, if you turn along with me, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and looking there in verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Again, here it brings out, which some have strayed away. Right? That they have received the truth, they heard the word of God, their faith was there, but then the love of money pulled them away because of their greed. The greed had pierced themselves. We need to make sure that our hearts are in the right place, that we are not caught up with the love of this world. Turn along with me, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and looking there at verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2, starting there in verse 15, says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." We want to make sure that we abide forever and that we're in the love of God. But our pride and lusting after the things of this world can pull us astray. So we need to have the right kind of heart to receive the truth. In Matthew 13, and looking there in verse 23, Matthew 13, verse 23 gets into the good ground, the good soil, that we want to make sure that our hearts are prepared to receive the Word of God. It says there in Matthew 13, 23, "But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the Word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. The good ground, the good heart, the good soil that receives the seed, and the seed grows. It compares that to us and hearing the Word of God and understanding the truth, understanding the good Word of God that He has given to us. Turn along with me to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 4, and looking there and in verse 5, it says, "Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth." Get wisdom. Get understanding. Search it out. Seek out the truth. Turn to God. Allow Him to guide you in the right direction. Because our Lord, again, He came to give us that understanding that we need. 1 John, if you will. 1 John chapter 5, and looking there in verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, looking there and in verse 20, says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding." The Son of God came and gave us understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. The Lord came to give us that understanding, the knowledge that we need, the understanding that we need in order to grow, in order to, of course, even to go and plant His Word, to plant our Lord and Savior into others. In Matthew chapter 28, in Matthew 28 and verse 18, Matthew 28 Looking there and starting in verse 18, here Jesus saying, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And as Jesus was put here on earth, and he went forth and planted the Word of God, right? He went forth and taught these parables, he did miracles and signs and wonders to prove that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he is our Savior. And then he went forth and passed the word on to his disciples. And they went forth and taught others. And they went forth and made disciples. How? Because they planted the seed. They planted the word of God. They taught others. And as they go forth and teach others, in verse 20 says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That we continue to pass it on. To teach others to teach. To teach others to be farmers for God. Right? To be fisher of men. That we go forth and plant his seed. Again, God is the one that's going to give the increase. We go to Corinthians as Paul is writing to them. He's saying, you know, I planted Paul's water, but the Lord, God, gives the increase. God is the one that changes somebody. God's word is what pierces their heart. God is the one that can wash their sins away. God is the one that adds them to his kingdom. It is God who's doing the true work that we are going forth and being his instruments of righteousness. And we're here to go forth and be the instruments that plant the seed for him, to maybe get the hose out and water the seed as it is planted, to do the work that needs to be done here on earth. But we have to have the heart to do that. Have to have the heart to go forth and plant the seed and to produce fruits, right? That's what it said there in the parable of the sower. As some produced 160, 30, you know, not you know, it's just we go forth and we do the work that needs to be done. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, part of the fruit. So also as we, yes, disciples and helping the church to grow physically, but also spiritually. As we look there in Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. As it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And these are things that we can produce also. So that we're sharing the Word of God and doing so in our lives, that we share His love, the joy and peace and long-suffering, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So we want to make sure that we have the right heart. But as we continue to live our lives here on earth, waiting for the day of harvest, we need to realize that we're not going to be able to separate ourselves until that day of harvest. That we will continue to be here among the tears, among those who have received some bad seed, the tears that were planted, that Satan went forth, as many are out there trying to find the truth, that Satan is out there trying to teach false doctrine. Not that he is physically a person that is out there doing so, but that we study the Word of God, that those who follow his path are sons of the devil, that they are enemies of God. And so therefore, he is the one that is planting these things. Look with me in Matthew 13 and verse 36. Matthew 13 and verse 36 says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went to the house, and his disciples came to say, and explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Again, here it brings out some of the points we've already brought out. Jesus sowing the seed. Seed is the word. We who receive the truth and obey are the sons of the kingdom. But it brings out that the enemy who sowed the tares are the devil. And those who are tares are the sons of the wicked one. And here he said he doesn't pull them all out and try to tear it, lest he accidentally rip out the good ones with the bad. But waste till the harvest. Waste till the end. And then he divides and separates. And so we will live among those who are false teachers, and we need to make sure that we receive the truth and not the false doctrine. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, Matthew chapter 4 in verse 1. A reminder that Satan is the one who tempts, right? It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Satan is the one that is going forth and tempting the Lord. He's the one that is out there trying to tempt us today, and we need to be aware, to be alert at all times. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you will, and look with me there, starting in verse 1. Here again, a warning of those who will fall away. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So again, it brings out that there are false teachings. We're to, 1 John 4:1 tells us to test all spirits, that to be on guard at all times. You know, we're told that even among us, our own, there are wolves in sheep's clothing. So we've got to be aware. We've got to be alert. Because that does happen. It does happen. It happens still today. But if we can remain faithful till the end, there will be a separation. That's why we want to make sure that we're out there planting the seed and trying to help others, because we don't want to see them to leave this world as a tear and to be thrown out and cast into the fire, but we want to see them to receive the truth. Again, go back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, and looking there in verse 40. Matthew 13, picking up in verse 40, says, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out the kingdom, all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Again, there will be the separation. There will be those who are righteous, and they will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. We'll be there in the kingdom with our Father, with our Lord, with our brethren. But those who follow the path of Satan, those who get caught up in a false doctrine, false teaching, and following and allowing a false seed to be planted in our hearts, will be reaped and thrown out, cast into the fire. Again, many are choosing this path. Many are choosing this path. It's not something that just all of a sudden happened. They choose to go down this broad and easy path. Matthew 7, looking there in verse 13. As it reads, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. We need to make sure we choose the correct path, choose wisely which path that we are on, so that we can overcome, be faithful, and enter into the kingdom of God. One last point to be brought out this morning is to look at the mustard seed there in Matthew 13, and starting in verse 31 and in verse 32. Matthew 13 and in verse 31 says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. So here gives us the mindset of a mustard seed, having a faith like a mustard seed. And my point for it would be for this lesson is that as we consider that there are different rounds, and then we consider that Satan's out there trying to snatch away the seed, or he's thrown out all the wonderful things of the world that causes pleasure to mankind and tries to make you desire those riches instead. And that if you have him going forth and planting false seed, that pulls people astray. And we're questioning, how can we know which is the truth? How can we make sure that we get to heaven? How can we make sure that we're on the right path when there's only few who find that right path? The faith of mustard seed is going to help us to grow and grow greatly so that we can help others. In Matthew 17, it also makes mention of an example of the mustard seed. I'm going to look at that. Matthew 17, and looking there in verse 20. Matthew 17 and verse 20 says, "So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So they questioned him why they weren't able to cast out a certain demon. They came to him. They weren't able to do it themselves. Jesus was able to do it. He brings out one, you need prayer. Another is that you have the right faith. You have faith as a mustard seed, one that is planted and starts small. You hear about Jesus and it grasps your interest. You hear about his love and his forgiveness and you want that. And you start to study and your faith starts to grow. And you know, from that first point that you obey the gospel to years down the road, that you grow to the point that now you are a teacher, that now you are helping others, now that you are bringing others to Christ because you've branched out to a tree that birds can plant. You know, that others are coming to you to ask questions to help them grow. That we'll have faith to be able to overcome temptations. Faith to be able to live faithful in his service so that we can have that hope in heaven. Again, it cannot be done without our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you've yet to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you to do it. I'm going to encourage you to be baptized and wash your sins away. If that seed has been planted in your heart, and you know the truth, you know what you need to do, we encourage you to do that today. If you're here, you have done those things, but maybe your seed has been, you know, your roots are drying out. The ways of the world have been kind of blowing hard on you. The winds, we've had this bad weather. We see what damage it does. And as we go through the trials and persecution, we do damage to our faith, to our hearts. But we're here to help one another. We study with you, we pray for you, whatever you need to be. We let it be known. Amen.